for your attendance tonight. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for the song specials. We just keep them coming. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to us. Amen. He does not fail. Hallelujah. At the Border, part two. I was actually going to call it On the Border, but that name's already taken, so I don't want you to think about Mexican food. Oh, there, I went and said it. Joshua chapter 5, if you wouldn't mind standing, we'll read the first 12 verses once again. Joshua chapter 5, starting at the first verse. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, recall that there were inhabitants in the land. And all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, the waters closed behind them after they crossed over. Once they crossed over, there was no going back. That their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Not a second time, but the second time, showing that it's another generation. And Joshua made him sharp knives. You know, if you cut yourself with a dull knife, it hurts. Cut yourself with a sharp knife, you don't even feel it. If it's a real sharp knife, you look down and all of a sudden you see blood. Yeah, I'm saying this from experience. If it's real sharp, you don't feel it. You see it. But you also heal a lot quicker, too. Make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. Realize when they crossed over, they're circumcised, and then they celebrate the Passover. The day that they celebrate the Passover is 40 years to the day from when they left Egypt. Their tribulation is over. The battle's beginning. But the tribulation is over. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And recall that circumcision is the cutting away of flesh. And it's a type of, he said that he would take away our stony heart, give us a heart of flesh. And he would cut away our carnality, cut away that carnal nature. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And they estimate this was about 3 days, and it was on the fourth day that they... So they'd been in the land 10 days and were circumcised. It was 3 days, and then on the fourth day, it was the feast of the Passover. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. Now, that meant it was the corn of that season of the prior season, because in order to eat of the corn that had just been harvested, there had to be the fruit had to be offered first. There was that offering that had to be made, so it couldn't be the new corn. But it was the corn that had already grown in the land that they didn't have to labor to grow. They did eat of the corn, the old corn of the land, on the morrow after the Passover. So it doesn't mean it's old, dried up, you know, popcorn that you have to somehow soften up. But it just meant it was the corn of the prior season. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day, and the manna ceased. The manna that had fallen in the wilderness until they crossed over the land. Now, a lot of people will take this and say, well, you know, the supernatural stopped. I mean, that's just dumb, isn't it? Supernatural stopped, you know, because they didn't need it anymore. They're in the land. Okay, so when the sun stood still a little later on, that wasn't supernatural. And when the walls of Jericho came down, that wasn't supernatural. I mean, at least be consistent. Yeah. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Recall that the manna was to keep them in the journey. The journey's over. And the whole point of being in the land is so that you can eat your fruits of your own labor. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come before you once again this evening, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. It's with love in our hearts, and it's with praise. And Lord, we thank you for every part of the service and what each one has contributed to the service. And we pray that you're pleased, Lord, with our efforts and with or just surrendering what you've given to us and giving it back to you, Lord. And we just, Lord, we love you, and we just want to express our love to you and in the best way that we know how. And Lord, we unabashedly ask for your blessings here tonight, for your goodness, for your mercy. And we know that a father would, even being evil, would give good gifts unto his children. How much more would our Heavenly Father give us the things that we have need of to those that ask? So Lord, we just ask for your blessings to be upon each and every one here tonight, those that are listening in, those that are in service. And Lord, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. We pray, Lord, that you'd comfort those that have had loved ones that have passed on the scene, Lord. And we ask for the continued healing of those that are sick, and that you would raise them up. And Lord, we're looking for the end of this pandemic in our land. And we're thanking you, Lord, for your protection and for your love and your mercy and your healing. Lord, when we do get sick, for your healing and your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts as we read from your word. We ask these things in your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read again from Ephesians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. Paul says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And again, from the adoption message, Brother Branham said, you believe in dispensation? Bible said so, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. What is the fullness of time? There's been a dispensation of, well, there was a dispensation of the Mosaic Law. There was a dispensation of John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of Christ. There's a dispensation of church organization. There's a dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now's the dispensation of adoption, what the world's waiting and groaning. And when the fullness of time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness of time, what is the fullness of time? When the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, the fullness of the dispensation of time. Watch this. When in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Aren't you glad? How's he going to do it? Gather together all things in who? How do you get into Christ? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that body is whose body? Already judged. He took our judgment. Then what are we? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every time he looks at that body, there it is, setting there bloody. I'm in there. By how? The Holy Ghost. He passes over. Oh my. Hallelujah. So we've come once again to a time where a land is being taken by a people for a possession. And we understand that we've been given examples in the Old Testament so that we would clearly be able to identify ourselves in the scripture and also in the portion that is to be lived out in our day, so that you can find yourself in the volume of the book and be able to see very plainly the portion of the word that's already been spoken that you are going to fulfill. So we've been taught that west of the Jordan, it types the opened word to the end time believer. And we know that our inheritance lays in the Word of God, of course. And every promise concerning us is in that open book. Brother Branham tells us in the message he titled Paradox on December 12th or December 10th of 1961, about 15, 16 months before the opening of the Word. He tells us about two visions. One that he had at 3 o'clock in the morning, and another one that followed right after that. And the first vision, when he had it, he wasn't sure if it was a dream or a vision. But then the second vision came, and he said when that second vision came, he said he was lifted up, and he just felt like he was filled with power. And he said, then I knew that it was a vision and not just a dream. So in the first vision, he sees himself on looking down at a map of Palestine, and he says, I was two-thirds of the way to the River Jordan, and he was excited. And he said, and I looked across the Jordan, and I said, oh, praise God, just on the other side is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the promised land. And of course, he was two-thirds of the way there, so he'd already been through the first pull of his ministry, the second pull of his ministry, and he was moving into the third pull of his ministry, which is the opening of the Word. It's the coming, the theophanic coming of the Word, followed by the physical coming of the Lord. So he has this vision, he's not sure if it's a dream or a vision, and then he bites himself and, you know, trying to see if it was a dream or a vision. And then he said he was lifted up and filled with power. And he said then he knew that it was a vision. He moves into this second vision, and he's on a narrow highway, and he sees a black mamba snake, which is a very deadly, poisonous snake. And he tells us that black mamba snake, it represents death. And he said, you know, what is everybody afraid of? Well, they're afraid of death. And he's asked if he would like to bind death, if he would like to bind that snake, which represents death. We'll just read it together here tonight from the Message Paradox, paragraph 65. He said, a voice came from above me and said, you have been given power to bind him, the worst or any. So you've been given power to bind him, which represents death. He says, that's the worst. Now, if you can bind the worst, you can bind the least. And I said, well, God, what must I do? And he said, there's one thing that you must do. You must be more sincere, see? You must be more sincere. And I said, well, God, forgive me for my insincerity and let me have sincerity. Notice he wasn't arguing with God. He wasn't saying, what do you mean? After I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other. He wasn't saying, God, you're wrong. I've been sincere. He said, oh, I need to be more sincere. Forgive me. What must I do? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What must I do? Forgive me for my unsincerity. Let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, There was a great something that came over me, just lifted me up. Seemed like my whole body was charged with something. And I looked at the serpent, and then he started towards me, and he couldn't do it yet. And I said, "Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you." And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up, and he made a sign like an S, a capital S sign made backwards. It's the ampersand sign. You see it up there on the, you see it up here on the screen, right? It's a backward S, but then it continues on through. And the reason why it continues on through is because the snake choked itself. He says, and it means bind this one or anything below him. Friends, that's the last thing to be brought underneath his feet. And when it is bound, everything, Satan is cast down.
Right.
It means bind this one or anything below him, because he's the worst. Blue smoke fell out of him, and his tail choked his own self to death around his head. When he made this backward S or and sign, he says, like a conjunction, you see, choked it to death, and the brother was free. And I went over, I love these theological terms that our prophet uses, you know, these great Bible school terms. He says, I went over and mashed it. You know, that just describes it. He didn't say, I went over and tapped my foot. I went over and looked at it and said, all right, why don't you get out of here? He said, I went over there and mashed it. I mashed on it. And I said, now I got to find out about this because it's a vision. And I hit on the thing and it turned like that. And it looked like a handle on a glass handle on a pitcher. And it just made it solid crystal. And I said, think of that. How quick. That blue smoke was life. And everything that left it, all the elements, and it turned to glass. And just then the voice came again and said, you can unbind him also. So I said, then Satan, that I might know, I unbind you. And when it did, he started coming back to life again, wiggling. And I said, I bind you back in the name of Jesus Christ. And when it did, the smoke flew out of him again. And he choked himself right back again and turned to crystal. And he's probably thinking, not again. And then when he did that, that voice said, now you must be more sincere than what you are to do this. So he wasn't saying you weren't sincere. He said, the sincerity that you've had up to this point, you're going to have to take it up another level in order to do this. Then it left me, and I was standing in the room. A few moments, I heard the clock go off, and my wife getting up, and the children, you know how it is, I guess, at your house. What am I going to wear today, Mama? where are my books? And what did I do? And you know, just like any home, you can't hear yourself think hardly for all of them trying to get ready all at once. And so I slipped off into the den room and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know these things. What must I do? And the children will be calling me to take them to school in a few moments. What must I do? And I looked around and my Bible was laying there. And I said, Lord, if you will forgive me, I do not believe in just opening up the scripture and taking something out of the Bible and saying that, but there is times that when God can comfort you by such a thing. And I said, Lord, in this case of emergency right now, before your spirit leaves me, I don't know what to do. The kids will be an hour yet before they'd be gone. Would you just show me? If that was something that you're trying to get to me, Heavenly Father, then let me know. And I took this Bible and I just pulled it open like that. And my thumb was laying at 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. He actually read the 7th and the 8th verse. When something reads something like this, when you come, he says, I was planning on taking a fast to the Lord. And I told him that I'd go out and fast. Said, when you come to this feast, which a fast in the body is a feast with the Lord. We know that. So when you come to this feast, don't come with the old leaven or the leaven of malice and so forth, but come with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Just exactly what he told me in the vision. God is my solemn judge. Come with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is the word. Then I seen what he meant. So he saw that he was 2/3 of the way to the River Jordan. And of course, that means that he'd already come through the first part of his ministry, the second pull or the second phase of his ministry. And we know that the third pull is the opening of the word. We know that it's the theophanic coming of the Lord. It's the word coming of the Lord, but it's followed by the physical coming of the Lord. And he was coming to the time of his ministry where the word would come open, the seals would come off the book, and he was told, for you to go into this portion of your ministry, to cross over into that land of the open word, you're going to have to be more sincere. And so it was taken from 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. So we'll read that just so that you can see it from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Now, the old leaven is thoughts and ideas that didn't come from the word. It's things that are mixed in there. It's a hybrid. And we know that a hybrid brings death. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge out your old denominational ideas. Purge out your old thinking. You know, when he actually came to the opening of the word, he didn't know what these things symbolized. And he got out his texts and books and things, and he thought, well, you know, the Lord hadn't shown me any different. All I know to do is, you know, is what I've seen thus far. And he got ready to preach on the white horse rider, and he was going to tell us that it was Christ. And he says, but then he came in the room, and we found out it was the Antichrist. And he said, I'd have been a million miles off if he hadn't have come. So he had to be willing and able and ready to quickly, anything that the Lord came and said, okay, you've had the wrong thought on this or the wrong thought on that or the wrong teaching, to quickly, with zeal, to repent of that. Because in order to see Christ, to see that's the Antichrist, you have to first stop seeing it as Christ. You got to get rid of your old ideas, your old thinking. Amen. So, therefore, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And, of course, the opening of the word is a feast. It's a 7-course meal. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You must be more sincere. So he would have to purge out the old leaven of denominational thinking, plain and simple, in order to receive the true word when it was opened to him by Jesus Christ. And friends, it doesn't matter what it is. I've seen that over the years, and I just shake my head. When I go different places, and, you know, I can tell, okay, these used to be apostolics. How do I know? Because they're still apostolics. Right? These used to be Pentecostals. How do I know? Because they're still Pentecostals. Right? These used to be Baptists. How do I know? Because they're still Baptist. Right. What do I mean by that? They're still holding on to things that are not in the word. Amen. Things that you've got to let go of. Right. You know, the apostolics teach that the pastor is like the husband of the church. That's not from the message. That's an apostolic thought. Right. Right. The apostolics teach that you're not supposed to wear any jewelry at all, even to the point of wedding rings. Right. So the pastor will take your wedding rings and put them in his safe. And then when you decide to leave the church and you ask for it back, he says, I don't know what happened to it. You can't make this stuff up. Purge out the old leaven of denominational thinking. Friends, there's no way that we're going in a rapture and a body change with you thinking this and me thinking that and this group thinking this and that one thinking that. Amen. We got to have the fullness of the Word. Amen. The Word, the full Word, and nothing but the Word. Amen. And that means we got to be willing to humble ourselves. Amen. You know, if we've pushed works to the furthest degree, and we need to find that balance where it's faith, that your works are a result of your faith. You know, if we look at somebody else, if we wear dresses that are all the way to the floor, and then we look at everybody else as, you know, backslid, if their dress isn't as long as us, you need to be purged. Amen. You want to wear a dress down to your ankles, that's just fine, but that's not everybody's dress code. Amen. I don't know why I preach that, but whatever. Amen. You want to believe that a man's hair can't touch his ear, and if it's touching his ear, his hair's too long? That's a denominational thought. Right. And you need to purge that out. Amen. So we would have to purge out the old leaven of denominational thinking in order to receive the true word when it was opened to him by Jesus Christ. Now, if it was that way for the prophet, it's that way for us. Amen. And recall that when Israel crossed the border, a circumcision took place. And this was followed by the feast of the Passover. So he's 2/3 of the way to the river. He's about to cross over into the land. He's told you have to be more sincere. When you come to this feast, purge out the old leaven. When they went into the land, they came to a feast. It was the feast of the Passover. And it had to be unleavened bread. Amen. And recall that when Israel crossed the border, a circumcision took place, a cutting away took place, followed by a feast. Now, we're going to look at this a little more in a few minutes, but I first want to say a few words about the border crossing so that we don't get any strange ideas about this. We read in Joshua 5 that all the men of war that came out of Egypt were consumed in the wilderness because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, right? Unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, before we go any further, I want you to clearly understand that we are not saying, and the scripture is not saying, that all of them from the first generation died off, because they didn't all die off. Or that all of the first generation doubted the promise of God and were therefore cut off, because that's not true either. And we are not saying, bless God, we are the new generation and we are the only ones going in the land. That's not true either. Amen. There were 20-year-olds that came out that were now 60-year-olds, right? And they hadn't died. And not all of the first generation believed the evil report that was given by the 10 spies that came back to Kadesh. There were two other spies, Joshua and Caleb. And they gave the true report. They gave a report. They said, what Moses said, it's thus saith the Lord. We're staying with this message. What Moses said, the land is exactly like he said. It's exactly no different. He wasn't exaggerating. He didn't make a mistake. Don't disbelieve the sign. Right. They didn't talk about the fanaticism that was in the land. They didn't talk about the giants that would have to be run out of the land. They didn't speak about that at all. They did not give an evil report. And there were people that believed their report. And there were many who didn't believe the message of Moses that were in this movement, that no doubt died along the way. And Moses, and there were many that did believe the message of Moses that died out along the way. And Moses is a type of that. He died before they crossed over into the land, right? Joshua and Caleb, they were of the older generation, and they did cross over. And there was also, the scripture tells us, there was Eleazar the high priest that was with the original ones that left Egypt. He crossed over. So all males that started in the journey were circumcised when they left Egypt. And those that were truly circumcised, they went on to go into the land. So we don't want to go running around saying only those that were born outside of Egypt after the Exodus journey had began go into the land. Right? In other words, those that grabbed a hold of this message back in the 60s and 70s, and a lot of them are off the scene now. Oh, well, they're not going in. That's just not true. Amen. Just make sure that you're in that number. Amen. Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Now, this new generation, they had to be circumcised before going in to the opening of the word, before possessing the inheritance in the promised land. And what does this circumcision represent? It represents, well, let's read from Joshua 5:9 once again. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. So they'd already crossed over the River Jordan on dry land. So this wasn't speaking of a new birth. It was speaking of purging out the old leaven. The leaven that had crept back into the message ranks of Moses along the way. It didn't creep into Moses' message, but it crept into the message ranks. Friends, don't get mad at me for saying that. It's a mixed multitude that came out. The Bible says so. And the reproach of the denominations needed to be rolled away from this prior generation needed to be rolled off of this new generation just as it had to be rolled off of the prior generation when they left the bondage of Egypt. So when the message was sounded to the prior generation in our day, these things were being dealt with. There were obstacles to the church of the living God. When you hear Brother Branham in the very first part of his ministry, he's cutting away denominational thinking. Because denominational teaching was standing in the way of that first generation. They were trying to keep Jesus Christ bottled up in history, trying to keep him buried in the past.
Right.
Or somewhere in the future.
Right.
So you'll notice that several of the earlier messages were about David and Goliath, for instance. He said Goliath was boasting and was declaring that the days of miracles was past. Goliath had stalled the revival. The church of the living God was paralyzed in fear.
Right.
He said, Goliath was boasting and was declaring the days of miracles are past. And he showed us that when David took down Goliath with only 5 smooth stones in his bag, armed with only faith in the word of God, that the rest of Israel took courage and then began to chase after the Philistines themselves.
Amen.
And here we are at the time of the coming of the body change. And it's murmured now in our ranks that only Brother Branham had divine healing in his life. So he had to first demonstrate that. There was a healing revival that took place, and he was trying to show us, look, he's still a healer. And the church of the living God still has access to these things. Right? And so that was rolled off of the generation that started following the message. The generation that preceded most of us. That was rolled off of them, and it was demonstrated. But now another generation has risen up, and there are those in our ranks that said, okay, yeah, that happened, but that's the end of it. Right? It can't happen in your generation. Now, Brother Branham was the only one that had divine healing in his life. Right? Some say we don't have the gifts any longer. Have you heard that? They've been done away with because that which is perfect is come, which is a misapplication of the word.
Amen.
So this new generation needs the reproach of that kind of thinking and that kind of teaching rolled back from them because it's keeping you in bondage. It's keeping you a slave. Like the children of Israel were, they were bearing a reproach. They were in slavery in Egypt, but that must be rolled back from us. So there needs to be some men with sharp knives of the word to cut away the reproach that has crept in among us. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, just to show you just how mindful the Lord is of us and how he's just in everything. He's with us, leading us and guiding us. This morning I told you about a dream I had around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't know what the interpretation of it was. But it was, when you have a dream like that, you feel like it's significant. But you may or may not get the interpretation of it. So, and then I got up. And of course, I had a message on my heart. And went and put the notes together. And then I told you about it here this morning. And then this evening, as I'm going through my notes for the service this evening, the Lord showed me what that dream was. The Lord showed me that me being back in that Sunday school, the Sunday school represents the next generation. And what was I doing? Rolling back the reproach. I was cutting away the wrong teaching and showing that he's not three gods, he's one. And showing it right from the word. Right? So we're cutting away the reproach. See that? This is your part in the service, guys. We're cutting away with a sharp knife the reproach of false teaching. Okay? So Brother Branham started the prayer lines by having the pianist play softly, "Only Believe," as it was sung, right? And he told us that the angel that was with him would draw near when that song was played. Is that right? We were told, "Only believe." What must I do? Believe. All things are possible. And that was the theme song of the message. It still is. But now that he's off the scene, it's taught in many places that theme song was only for our messenger. That kind of teaching needs to be sharply cut away. Right? What began to happen in our own ranks is that Satan began to use quotes from our message, just as he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve. He took the message and began to preach the message, to take quotes from the message in order to defeat those that are followers in the ranks of the message by misapplying it, by misquoting it, by coding it. You say quotes? Sure. What did Satan use on Eve? What did Satan use on Jesus? Now, there's nothing at all wrong with the quotes. We don't back up from the quotes one bit. But they're just being misapplied. So people began making quote books. Remember that? Some of us that have been around a little longer, I've always been against those things. And people have been against me for being against them. They're thinking, "Oh, you're just such a stick in the mud. Why are you against this and this and this?" It's because we finally get the message. We finally get the truth. And now somebody else wants to come and put it together for us. Somebody wants to give us the Reader's Digest version of the message. Well, this is what's important, and that's what's important. And I realized at the time, you know what you're doing? You're editing here. What you're doing is you're pulling this out, and you're putting it together with that. You're interpreting, right? I want the message just the way it's written. I don't need some quote book, which is your interpretation. And that's what it turns out to be. Somebody's interpretation, because they're choosing some quotes or leaving other quotes out. We don't need quote books, friends. I don't have a quote book on my Bible. Why? Because I need the whole thing. I don't need somebody to come and give me a Reader's Digest version, a little, a five-page booklet on the Bible that tells me this is all you need to know and this is what's important. So people began making their own quote books. They had an agenda to make their case for their slant on the message. I remember when this fake book came out, and it was called The Third Pull, right? And it was the Jeffers brothers, I think, right? Back in Missouri, Kentucky, somewhere around there. Yeah, I'd only been in the message 6 months, and I'm just devouring it. And somebody tried to give me that, and the little bells went off right away. I'm not trying to be mean or different, friends. I'm just made up the way I'm made up. It's given to me to protect my life. Right. And you'll find it's given to me to protect your life, too. They've all been proven to be hogwash. Yeah. They've all been proven to have a slant. They've all done their thing. They've all went their way. Yeah. Nothing wrong with the quotes. It's how you put them together. Well, that was only for the prophet, not for the rest of us. John 14:12 isn't for the body. It's only for one individual. Let's read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, singular, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Amen. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And they say Brother Branham was the he. I believe on him too. Yes. You do too. Amen. I didn't mean to point this at you. Signs and wonders don't follow us because they'll take away from Brother Branham somehow. That's a lie. That's a reproach. Let's cut that away. That's a reproach on the message, as well as a reproach on Christ. That's Antichrist. It's actually just the opposite. We don't follow after signs, but if you believe, signs follow after you. So Goliath is killed, the prophet is off the scene, and followers of the message, they bring back the reproach of Egypt amongst us again. Yeah. It was cut off in the early stages of the message. You listen to the messages in the early days, and he's just cutting off this and cutting off that. You say this, the church says that, but the Bible says this. And watch him do it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now keep in mind that these weren't total unbelievers. Neither, they weren't even people that said, I don't believe the message. They believed that it was possible to do these things. But not for us. Only for Brother Branham. When I came to Tucson, I was dumb enough to believe the message. I was dumb enough to believe the Bible. I was dumb enough to think, you know what? Those things could happen in our lives too. And the resistance I got was from those that followed the message. Oh, you're too Pentecostal. You mean I'm alive and you're not? Is that what you're trying to say? We're beyond that. Well, isn't that convenient? If you ever had it, you'd recognize, okay, Brother Baker, you're just a baby. Well, how do you start out? Who despises babies? Brother Branham said they don't want no Acts 2:38 tongue talking, squalling babies around. He took he cut that all up. And then I come along and they say, we don't want no... That had already been cut off. Look, friends, it is what it is. I didn't come into this and everybody just embraced me and said, oh my, hallelujah, we've arrived, we're all together, and wonderful. I was looking for the things that the guy on the tape said to be taking place. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the last thing I expected was to see this message all sewed up again.
Right.
Yeah. It's the seven thunders. Well, what are they? Well, I can't tell you. It's a revelation. But, you know, it's the virtues. That's strange. The virtues aren't sealed up in the Bible. I can read about those. How could the virtues be the seven thunders? Well, it's a mystery. Sure is. It's more mysterious now than it ever was before. Well, if you don't believe that, you're out, Brother Baker. And oh, by the way, we're the only ones that know how to worship. Well, I'm so glad that I learned to worship before I met you. Because you don't have the corner on praise. You do have the corner on, now you may be seated. And everybody doing the same thing. Friends. That's a reproach. Yeah. People outside of our ranks just laugh at us. Yeah. Oh, that's the message. It's just another denomination. Yeah. You say you shouldn't say it. I'll say it again. Just another denomination. Yeah. Oh, that's mean. I'm not talking about people. I'm not against people. I'm not fighting people. That's false teaching. Yeah. That's Satan with a slippery tongue trying to come in and roll reproach on you and I. Yeah. And we're going to cut it off. Yeah. Yeah. We're beyond, Brother Doug, we're beyond divine healing. Because we have something greater now. We have the Word. That's just what the Baptists teach. Days of miracles are past because we got the Word. They needed the miracles in the early days because they were trying to get this thing off the ground. And God had to vindicate that He was with them. But we've got the Word now. So then why are you backslid, dead, arguing, twice plucked up by the roots? Why are you just like the Baptist that I came out from? You say, man, you're rough in your heart. Friends, I'm telling you how it is. Amen. If the Word's in you, you won't disagree with the Word.
Right.
There aren't going to be a lot of people that believe the whole Word. Right? We're not trying to say this one's in and that one's out. But if you're a child of God, you'll believe the whole Word.
Amen.
Or you'll stay here.
Right.
Well,
praise the Lord.
You know what your problem is. You see, divine healing's a minor. You ever hear that? And we don't want a major on a minor. You ever hear that? Having the major doesn't do away with the minor. There was divine healing in the Old Testament. There's divine healing all the way through the Scripture. Until now. The greatest healing revival, it's greater than it was 2,000 years ago. More works done in our day, more of a demonstration the world over, and now it's gone. It was restored for 5 minutes, and now it's gone. And I wasn't here to see it. Isn't that convenient? It was demonstrated over and over and over that healing would be in the body. In fact, friends, if you think you're going in the rapture and there's no divine healing taking place in your life, you're not going. Because divine healing is just a down payment on the total healing of our body. So if we don't have the down payment, how are we going to have the fullness? It's just hogwash. I'm going to keep this sword handy. Don't put up with it. We're not mean. We're not attacking people. But we will stand for this Word. Because that will hinder you. No more laying on of hands, we were told. Yeah, because we're in the message now. No more prayer lines. Why would that be? Well, because that's just a Jewish custom or tradition. Now we just speak the Word. Your prophet had prayer lines clear up to the end. We know that the greatest, the highest, is to speak the Word and believe.
Amen.
that doesn't do away with everything in between. Besides that, the laying on of hands is in the New Testament.
Sure. Amen.
So show me where it was taken out.
Right.
Well, just believe. You don't need any evidence. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's a reproach, friends. I don't need any evidence. I do. Because if God says something and he doesn't do it, then one of us is a liar. And I'm not going to call him a liar. If he says something, he's going to do it. He's going to vindicate it. There will be evidence. I don't believe because of the evidence, but there's evidence because I believe. No more altar calls. Excuse me, sorry. No more altar calls. Because it's a Methodist tradition. We got raked over the coals, preached over the pulpits in Tucson, because we were making altar calls. And over the pulpits, Brother Branham said that altar calls are a Methodist tradition. Well, you read half the quote. Actually, not even half. You read a portion of it. Read the rest. That's okay. That's all right. I was just telling you, it wasn't so from the beginning. In the beginning, as many believed, they received. And then he made altar calls. All the way to the end. Listen to the messages in Shreveport in 1965. One of the messages in particular was at the Invisible Union. I'm trying to remember which one. He makes an altar call at the end, a nationwide altar call. They're on the hookup.
Right.
Every time I listen to it, I don't need to go to an altar. I don't need to respond to an altar call, but it's so powerful that I feel like running to an altar. Therefore, altar benches should be removed from the church as a result of half-quoted quotes. You don't have to tarry now for the Holy Ghost. Just believe you got it. Does everybody have to have an experience? Yes. No more preaching to the lost. It's bride time. We're no longer in the ages. We're in the bride age. So it's only the bride that's being preached to.
Right.
Nobody else will be saved.
That's true.
That's the tribulation period.
Yeah.
Let him who's filthy remain filthy. Let him who's clean remain clean.
Amen.
Preachers can only preach for 30 minutes. Sing two songs. And then dismiss. And one of them better be take the name of Jesus with you. Show me where Brother Branham did that and I'll start doing it. That's a reproach that needs to be rolled back. Now, if you want to have a 30-minute service, go ahead. I can't even get warmed up. No emotion. Because the Holy Ghost comes now without emotions. Anything about emotion is dead.
Yeah.
Bury it.
Yeah.
The new birth. It comes just by embracing a doctrine. Or embracing the message. Or believing that God sent a prophet. Now that the seals have been opened, that's how the Holy Ghost comes. Another Baptist teaching. You get the Holy Ghost and you don't know it. How can your life be changed? How can you be a new creature? How can your desires be different and you don't know it?
Amen.
Well, you just grow into it. That's a reproach. That's why we have so many backslid church members. Because they're taught, you know, you'll be good one of these days. We're beyond Pentecost, Brother Henry, because it was a bad thing. How do I know? It starts with the P. It's a P word. Why would he spend 2,000 years restoring it and then said, whoops, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's get rid of that. It's part of it. How about this one? No more camp meetings. If you do have them, just play a tape. Because otherwise, you're manhandling the word. He sent a fivefold ministry. And that ministry is to minister until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the stature of a perfect man. You must play a tape from the pulpit on Sunday morning. If you don't, you're not part of the true fivefold ministry. You're talking about my job now. So the Lord wakes me up, gives me a dream. Then I prepare a message, and then he waits till the evening to show me, oh, you see how that all fits together now? And he does that just to encourage us. Oh, but he can't get a hold of little guys, you know? He can't get a hold of little pastors and little this and little that. If he ain't the God of the little thing, he ain't the God of the big thing. He's just God, friends. He didn't change his program, and we're going to cut away anything. I don't care who says it. I don't care how their name is spelled. I don't care how many meetings they've been in. I don't care how many pairs of Brother Branham's pants they have. I'll stay with the word. Well, only those whose names start with a B and end with a D. No. M. That's Branham, in case you don't know. Only those people can pray for you. That's top. Well, how do you know that's true? Because Brother so-and-so said amen twice. Well, that's solid. Brother Branham has to come back to bring us to perfection, to bring us to maturity. And we can't come to that place otherwise. Fivefold ministry can't bring it to us. The second coming of the Lord is only spiritual, and it's not literal. We're in the millennium. I'm going after you first. Did you feel that? Well, then you ain't in the millennium if you felt that. Oh, you need healing now, huh? Okay. The Son of Man was only manifested through the prophet. Boy, you're quiet. You're afraid to back that one up. Who's the Son of Man? The Word. Where's the Word? In a body. Don't get nervous. I'm not sure if I should say amen. There's something that you need to be purged of. You need to say, Lord, give me a scripture. I'm going to go to your word. Speak to me. I don't want to be wrong. Amen. Don't play with this stuff. Don't put it on the shelf. We put stuff on the shelf for too long. Well, that's just your opinion. It's time. It's a showdown time. Either it's in the word or it's not in the word. If it's in the word, let's find what the word says. If it's not in the word, we're not little kids any longer, are we, Brother Eli? Brother Andy? I can look back and And I still remember the times when I was challenged. Something didn't sound right. And maybe I didn't have a quote or a scripture to back it up, but guess what I did? I dug in. One scripture after another, one doctrine after another. Right? And then you find out you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're thinking, oh, somebody should have just trained me in this. No, God's training you. And this is how he does it. Because what it causes you to do is dig in and for God to lead you himself. And in the end, you know where you're standing. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you'll not back up. You're not being mean. You're not being nasty, but you're not moving either. We just need to wait for the book to be fully open in the future, because it's only 6/7 open now, you know. Seventh seal has not been revealed. Evidently, it hasn't been revealed to you. Speak for yourself. The cloud, it was just a rocket contrail. Don't believe the sign. We can't possess the land. Wait for Brother Branham to come back and take us into it. If you wait till then, it's too late. Well, he's got to come back, because he's going to save our loved ones in that tent. Friends, I'm not making this stuff up. This is taught. Intelligent people teach this. The opening of the word was only for Brother Branham. I tell you tonight, friends, we need some men to pull out their swords and to circumcise the next generation so that this unbelief is carried on no further, because it's not going in the land. I'm just getting warmed up. The Joshua group needs to hear the voice of God, right, saying, be strong, be of good courage, for I have given unto you the land. Amen. Don't listen to anybody else. I, as I was with Moses, so am I with you. Right. Listen, friends, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees took the quotes of Moses and condemned Jesus with Moses' quotes for picking corn on the Sabbath. When Moses brought the law concerning keeping the Sabbath, the teachers interpreted it as keeping a certain day and not working on a certain day. And without the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to rightly divide the true meaning of the word. We'll make that word it's a dead letter that kills. The Sabbath is being fulfilled by you being filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have entered into that rest. It is the place of our rest. And he is finishing the work of redemption for you and I. And we are Ruth resting. We're resting while our kinsman redeemer is doing the final work of redemption, which is the claiming work on our behalf. Let's read from Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost. He says, the tabernacle right now, he's speaking to his own church. The tabernacle right now stands at Kadesh Barnea. Look, them people was so close till they even tasted the grapes out of the land. They eat the grapes. When Caleb and them went over and brought back the grapes, them fellows pulled off some and eat them. They weren't word-only preachers. They brought back evidence. Oh, they're good. But we can't do it. They that have tasted the good work of God have tasted of the Holy Spirit. They've seen the goodness of it. They've tasted of it. They've tasted the word of God. See that? None of them men, not one of them ever was permitted to go over. They perished in their own land over here in the wilderness. They never went over, yet they was close enough to taste it. They saw what was taking place in the meetings. They felt the Holy Spirit moving in the meetings. They saw Jesus Christ manifesting himself once again, updating himself. Yet they never partook of it themselves. They were close enough to taste it, but not enough grace and faith to take it. He says that's what it is. And he's speaking to his own church. Where are we at tonight, friends? I'll tell you where we're at tonight. We're more than able to take this. What Moses preached, I believe that. What our prophet preached, we believe it. Now it's time for us to take what belongs to us. It's time for us to walk into. We've received all the instruction that we need. The word has been restored. And it's been put in a storehouse. And there are certain ones in the body that are called to go into that storehouse. And actually, friends, if you think, well, that doesn't sound fair. And why do they get that position? And does that make them bigger or better? No, you're actually the one that operates the gift. Because what you do is you cry out. You have a desire. You have a need for certain food. And God works through his ministry and sends them into that storehouse. And they come out and preach what it is that you have need of. And they might not have a clue who needs it, but they have to surrender. They have to be willing to look like an idiot, like they can't carry a thought because they're getting pulled this way or that way or the other way. And it seems like, well, I shouldn't be preaching this or preaching that, but it's you pulling what you need out of that storehouse. And you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So if you're feeding on the unfailing body of the Son of Man, unfailing body word of the Son of Man is in you. Well, some of you will go away and pray and get comfortable saying amen to that soon. Because the fall's scary. It's always scary. Oh, if you believe that, oh my, you're Antichrist if you believe that the Son of Man was only in the prophet. How is he being revealed now if he's not here? We're more than able to take this, friends. Just look at what happened to Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. They chose. They were given an inheritance in the land. But no, they chose to hold back, to remain back in Moab, outside of the land, instead of taking their inheritance in the land. They were circumcised just like everybody else. They believed that God sent a prophet like others, but they never crossed over into the land. So since they didn't cross over into the land, when the tabernacle was built, actually when the tabernacle was in Shiloh, and then it was transferred over and built in Jerusalem, well, they failed to meet at the tabernacle, but instead they stayed home. Probably listened to tapes, you know. But God only met the true believer where he had put his name, which was in the tabernacle in Jerusalem. So you either came where it was being ministered or you were out of it. God only met the true believer where he chose to place his name. Now, these tribes that I just mentioned, they were the very first ones to be taken off into bondage by the Babylonians. Brother Branham said that his own tabernacle was at Kadesh and that they had to make a choice. Friends, the full land is before us tonight. And we aren't hearing just the testimony of a spy. We now have full access to the land ourselves. Amen. We now can taste and say it is good. Amen. It's exactly what the prophet said it was. We believe the true report. And we've crossed over into the open word as a result. And we're not waiting for another ministry. We're not even waiting for a supposed finishing of the ministry that's already finished. Brother Branham doesn't have to. First of all, there's no scripture for it. Second of all, there's no pattern for it. Third of all, it's just flat out ridiculous. And it's an excuse for backslid people that never went, that have an intellectual understanding of the word. They don't have a revelation. Because if they had a revelation, they'd realize the full word has been preached. He was sent to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and to reveal the hidden mysteries that were in the seven thunders. Amen. Done. Yes. My heart's turned. The open word was preached.
Amen.
And we are the manifestation of that word.
Yes.
We're the proof. We're the vindication.
Amen.
We're a people that are not going to fall away.
Amen.
This one may go this way. That one may go that way. This one may run off on this tantrum or that tantrum or this false teaching or that false teaching. But you're surrendering to Him.
Amen.
You're not being overcome, but you're overcoming.
Yes.
We've received the word to the church. And we're acting on it. Again, from paradox. Jesus did the works of His Father because the Father was in Him. That's why the works was done. Because the Father was in the Son. Do you believe that? Congregation says, amen. That in Him, He was the incarnate God. Do you believe that? That God the Father, which is the Father of Jesus Christ, the great Spirit, dwelt in the fullness of His power in Jesus Christ, which was the tabernacle of God made flesh and dwelt on the earth, representing the Word. Jesus was the Word. The Bible said so. St. John, first chapter. And the Word, oh, I love this. Hold on to your seats. Okay, hold on to your husband's hand. He's holding on to the seat. Now listen close. The Word was invisible until it was made flesh.
Amen.
And then the Word become visible. That's the whole point. And through His sacrificial death at Calvary and His resurrection, positionally placed His church in that realm. What realm? The invisible realm.
Right.
His church has been placed in that invisible realm. That same invisible God could come into the individual and make the Word visible. I hope this don't sound sacrilegious, but you're God's TV set. Because God's using you as a receiver to channel His thoughts through and to manifest.
Amen.
As a vessel to manifest His Word.
Yes.
To put His Word on display. To display it.
Amen.
To make the invisible Word visible.
Amen.
Put it all on Brother Branham and this can't happen.
Amen.
Plus, why send a prophet if only the prophet's going? Through the sacrificial death at Calvary and His resurrection, positionally placed His church in that realm, and that same invisible God could come into the individual and make the Word visible. Oh my. I wish my church could get that, he says. If you could see, friends, the invisible God being made visible.
Yeah.
They're going, yeah, it's you, Brother Branham. It may have started there, but it went from there to the rest of the body. It had to start somewhere. So the goal of God is for you to get to the place where you make the invisible God visible. What did he mean? Well, just watch. You'll see. You'll see what he meant by what he said when he does it in my life or your life. Living tabernacles of the living God.
Amen.
The Word having preeminence in a body.
Yes.
Again, in the message, perseverance, we're pulling over. Christ, when he was on the earth, was the body of God. God created this body. It was a different body. Yet it was a human body. You know, Solomon built him a house. But Stephen said, how be it, the Most High don't dwell in houses made with hands, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, God prepared himself a body in the form of the Lord Jesus, which was the Christ, meaning the anointed one. And now, all that God was in Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the scripture says. Now, and all that God was, he poured out in Christ. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Hold on to your seats now. And all that Christ was, he poured out into the church. And all that Christ was, he poured out into the church. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. What is it? Anointed one to continue his work, that his word might live constantly. He lived by the word of the Father. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the church don't live by bread alone, but by the word of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes in and takes the word of Christ and makes it a living action today. Let me read that again. And the Holy Spirit comes in the body, and takes the word of Christ and makes it a living action today. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. Why are the signs going to follow those that believe? The signs aren't following you. The signs are following him that's in you. Because he's doing the works. It's the word being made manifest in a body. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Grayson. This is a great sword. Especially since it won't hurt anybody. Hallelujah. Friends, we're right on the threshold. I've been longing for this day. From the very beginning. Like Joshua and Caleb, I've heard it enough. I've heard enough why we can't have this and we can't have that. And trying to water down the promises. I lived that kind of nonsense for 20 years in the denominations. This message came to set us free from that. This message came to show us that this word is alive, that it's living, and that you weren't left out of any of it. But you're right in the middle of it. You're not outside the pages of the Bible. You're in the Bible. Because the Bible says who you are and what you'll do. Amen. Amen. And here we are. Who will go with me? Who will take all that belongs to him? Amen. Our confidence is in him. Now, if he says that's how it is, I believe it. Friends, we talk about catching the vision. That's the vision we want to catch. Hallelujah. The vision of Christ in his body in this last day. Amen. This is not something that we're probing at. It's not something that this one thinks this and that one thinks that. There's one interpretation, and it's his interpretation. And he interprets it by bringing it to pass. Then that's the interpretation. I'm closing. But when the day of Pentecost came, before the day of Pentecost came, I wonder, how's it going to be? What does it mean? I'll pour out my spirit. What does it mean with other tongues? And what does it mean, you'll be endued with power from on high? What does all that mean? They perhaps fussed. They perhaps discussed it. They perhaps debated it. But when it happened, Peter got up out of the gutter. They fell out of the windows. The Holy Ghost came into the building. Little licks of fire came and rested upon each and every one. They began to speak with other tongues. They were on fire. The power, the life had come back in the church. The church of the living God was being born. The bride. He was building his church as he said he would. They ended up out in the streets, shouting, praising God, not hiding. And they asked him, "What is this?" And Peter stood up. He says, "That's easy. You want to know what this is? This is that." "That what?" "Well, there was a scripture in Joel, the second chapter, that said what would take place. Right now. Jesus told us what would take place right now. And what's taking place is that." So you want to know what Joel 2:28 means? "This is that. I am now the interpretation. I am now the living interpretation of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2. Friends, you can say that this evening. What do these things mean pertaining the end time church? Well, this is that. To those that overcome in the Laodicean church age, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am seated in my Father's throne? Well, what does that mean? Well, you're looking at an overcomer. You're looking at someone that's not being overcome. You're looking at somebody that's not wanting to commit suicide, but instead is on the hallelujah side. You're looking at one that's not willing to negotiate with the devil, that's not willing to leave one hoof behind, that's not willing to leave one promise behind, that will not leave any of his children, family members, those that we claim for the kingdom of God. I refuse to leave a single one behind. Why? Because I know what I've been given. I know what belongs to me. I know what the will says that is my possession. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to stand. I know, friends, I know that you are too, but I just got to speak it, and I want you to speak it too as the Lord reveals it to you. We're not just going to barely make it. We're not going to make it by the skin of our teeth and say, "Man, if you hadn't come, we'd have been devoured." We're overcomers. Satan will be absolutely thwarted because we see him now. We see his attempted destruction of the church. We see him trying to impersonate the Word. We see him in every way, but we'll stay with the Word. And we'll cut away anything that's impersonating the Word. Hallelujah. And there's power in that. There's life in it. It'll produce what it was sent to produce. Friends, if we water it down, if we sugarcoat it, if we try to make it easier, what we do is we kill it. We take the life out. We hybridize it. You need to make it softer. No, I just need to let the Word speak what it does. Speak where the Word speaks. Be silent where the Word is silent. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe we're right on the threshold, friends. I believe our greatest days are yet ahead of us. They're not behind us. They're ahead of us. The best is yet to come. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful tonight to know you, not as some historical idol or historical teaching, but to know you as the living God. The great I am that's amongst us tonight. The one that's walking and moving amongst us. That's motivating us. That's driving us. That's encouraging us. That's filling us with faith. That's restoring us his word. That's revealing himself amongst us. That's giving us power to overcome in the days that we're living in. Lord, you sent us a rapture message. And I will say tonight, I won't call you a liar. I won't try to reason. But I'll just declare boldly here tonight, whether I fully understand or not, I will declare your word is changing me. I'm in a rapture. And you're not going to lose me. You're not going to lose any. All that you've been given are going to come. You'll not lose one. Lord, you're going to take me away in a change of a body. But Lord, before I go in that change of the body, death will be swallowed up. All of of our enemies will be cast down. All of our enemies will be conquered. Nothing will have a hold on us. Lord, we will overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, your word having preeminence in a body. Lord, you defeated your enemy 2,000 years ago in one body. But now you're tabernacled in a many-membered body in this hour. And once again, you're defeating your enemy. Lord, we stand with you tonight and we say, be it unto us according to thy word. I believe your word. Help thou all my unbelief, Lord. Purge me tonight, Lord, of any wrong teaching, any wrong ideas, any hesitation, any fear, any nervousness. Lord, if there's any scripture that I'm avoiding, if there's things that make me nervous, Lord, may I not run from it. May I not be afraid of the ministry that you've placed me under. But may I come, Lord, humbly and sincerely. And may we seek these things out, Lord, that we might have be in one mind and one accord. That we might have a more excellent understanding. That we might know you in the fullness, not just partial, but in the fullness. Grant it tonight, Lord. Take away any nervousness in the body, Lord, any hesitation, Lord, to hold back and with private ideas and private interpretation or maybe fears. But Lord, may we have courage and may we have confidence. Our confidence is in you tonight, Lord, that this is your work. And if this is your work, you're going to work all things for your honor and for your glory. You're going to glorify yourself again in a many-membered body. And your word will have the preeminence. Oh God, may this body come together, Lord. Not just this body that's part of this local fellowship, but the body, the mystical body that's on the face of the earth tonight, Lord. May the body be united together in one mind and one accord. And may you have the preeminence once again in a body. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We're so thankful, Lord, that the truth has found us and the truth is setting us free. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, Father, just ask that you bless each and every one, that you move in every heart. Lord, that you give us courage to ask for whatever we have need of. Lord, whether it be an understanding, whether it be we're confused about this or that, whether it be something that we're lacking, something that you promised that we haven't walked in yet, give us courage, Lord, to hold out that arm of faith and claim, Lord, knowing, Lord, that it's you want us to have these things. You want us to walk in the fullness. You want us to possess every divine promise. You want us to be overcomers in every aspect of our lives. And Lord, only your word can do that. And so, Lord, we would have to have the fullness of your word, because the fullness will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. That's our confidence tonight, Lord. May each one be encouraged now, Lord. May we be encouraged in the faith. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What are you playing?